Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
On the dot on Tuesday after Christmas, Lance Zierlein in studio here along with Eric Layden. And Eric, for those of you who listen to the Off-Script podcast, is one of the co-hosts along with Chris Solis. And we do go off script. I mean, we don't always stick to sports. We don't even stick to the same topic in it because it does go off script. Eric, it's a good name because I'm ADD, as most of you know by now, if you've listened to any to any of the radio I've done over the years. Eric is from Houston, went to high school here, is still a huge Houston sports fan, but and I contend could do a sports talk show. I'd have no doubt about that. I could pair Eric Layden and Lance McCullers and have one of the best Houston sports talk shows if I wanted to. And I'll throw Lance Berkman in too, and that would be an easy win for us. But Eric joins me right now. Eric's an actor. And some of you have seen his work. We'll go down the list of some of the things he's done. So in case you don't know Eric, you will. But I have no problem bringing Eric in studio because we do podcasts all the time. We talk college football. We talk basketball, baseball, tons of Astros. As a matter of fact, Eric, our biggest podcasts were during the World Series run. And you have been going to World Series games down the third baseline forever and ever and ever. I don't even want to know if you want to tell the story of how your family came into the realm of the magical third base line seats, saw your picture. Your dad still got a picture of you from when you're in the Houston Chronicle screaming at people.
Yeah, Houston, first of all, Merry Christmas, man.
Merry Christmas,
too. Yeah, thanks for having me. I'm going to try to act like I know what I'm doing.
Is this
today.
Like you actors have to wake up? You guys have to wake up early for shots and stuff like that. You're not like athletes who you ask them to come on at 9. It's like, oh, my, 9. Well, at least... Okay, basketball players are like that. Baseball players are usually like that. Football players, they got to be up and practicing, so football players are used to it.
Yeah, no, I'm a 3 a.m. is not an off-the-wall call time for me.
3 a.m.?
Yeah, because a lot of times you got to go through hair and makeup, then you got to get the shot off by first sun. You know, because if you're shooting exterior, you know, you got to be able to work in the sun, which means right when that sun comes up, you got to be shooting, which means all the stuff that happens before, which is about 2.5 hours of stuff, that's got to happen before the sun comes up. So, and then depending on where you're shooting, could be an hour drive. So 3 a.m. is not out of the question.
Yeah. That's a little rough. So now you know what it's like being a sports talk. So you do know what it's like being a sports talk host. Stay up super late, like for West Coast games. And then you, if the Rockets are West Coast playing the Clippers or Lakers or something, like when they played the Clippers or the Portland Trail Blazers in the playoffs, it was brutal. My show was at 6 a.m. And so we would be up until, and God forbid one of those things goes to overtime, you're up until easily until midnight because the games never start at the end of the night when they have that playoff game stacked at the end. They never start on time.
Never on time.
Never on time. And then it turns into a timeout factory at the end of games because Kevin McHale was trying to micromanage everything. And then before you know it, it was like you're going to bed after 12 something. And that the case of the Clippers game, that game 6, that magical game 6 where the Rockets ended up winning, forcing a game 7. They beat the Clippers. They went on to Western Conference Finals and then, you know, did what they always do against Golden State. I don't think that game was done at like 12:30.
If that's playoffs.
Oh, no, you don't.
I mean, you, yeah.
Same thing with the Dodgers.
Dodgers
game 5 World Series. You don't care how late you're going to bed if it's a win.
I've now lived on the West Coast for 20 years. So I'm the West Coast sports fan that's like, yeah, this is, you know, this is crazy. How's the East Coast not watching these games?
Yeah.
You know, for me, NFL starts at, I love the 10 o'clock start. that 10 a.m. start, you know, start the day early. So I get all my sports in early. So I'm a little spoiled in that regard. I don't have to stay up.
Are you
late
okay
for
with
games.
College football starting at 9 o'clock for you? Since well, you're that's a USC
always,
guy?
Yeah, but first of all, when has a 9 o'clock game ever been watchable? I mean, it's always gonna, it's always no. for like a piece of wood or an axe. You know, it's always Minnesota. It's some random Big Ten game, you know, Minnesota versus Michigan for some sort of lumber
the
piece of
lumber. The cherry thimble between, yeah. between Michigan State. You know, it's always, you know, here's Purdue and Minnesota with the, yeah.
Yeah, they're always, of, yeah, they're playing for like, you know, yeah. some, like a wooden target that's been yeah. hammered in by a lumberjack. And then the team, you know, gets to grab it and paint it whatever color they want. Right. So, no, I've never – 9 a.m. starts are fine because I'm not watching them.
Yeah.
You know, I prefer the 5 p.m. That's usually where SC sits.
Do you like watching the Texans at 3:30 at home against the Pittsburgh Steelers on a, I don't know, a week 16 tilt?
Is did that the, something that did the Texans play last night?
Well, they suited up and,
okay.
and went out
all right.
there.
Yeah.
That's about all that was because the Houston Texans – once again, I mean, I have to say that once again, fall, and once again, it's in an embarrassing fashion. And the Texans lose yesterday, 34-6 was the final. There were two bright spots in the whole game. Really three. You had a 100-yard rushing day from Lamar Miller, but that doesn't really feel like a big win for the Texans. You had DeAndre Hopkins with an incredible touchdown catch that, frankly, I don't really even. We've seen so much of these catches from DeAndre Hopkins.
Yeah.
He's got – I know Odell Beckham will forever be the iconic figure of amazing sure. catches because of the one – I think I've seen Nuke Hopkins make catches that were that spectacular probably two or three different times. One of them was in a preseason game his rookie year that no one ever talks about. It got called back on a penalty. It was – unbelievable. And since then, he's probably made about 14 or 15 of them while Odell Beckham's busy throwing, you know, temper tantrums, flinging balls against the ground, grabbing the kicking nets and doing whatever and going on giant, you know, boat trips in the middle of the playoffs. DeAndre's just out there on a jugs gun,
just
getting
balling.
Better. That's all he does. He just yeah. happens to have T.J. Yates and Tyler Heineke.
He also happens to be in Houston and not New York. You know,
yeah.
I mean, that's a huge factor.
Yeah, exactly.
He's the only bright spot on that squad.
No, there's really no. I mean, Jadeveon Clowney's also a Pro Bowler, but you just. You don't really think about it because they're not having any impact on the game. Like,
no.
There's nothing.
Not when it's – I mean, here's the good news. They lost 34-6. The week before, they lost 45-7. So we're trending in the right direction, right?
Are they trending in the right
no.
direction? Because when you
no, I mean, they threw a quarterback in named Heineken. So at one point.
Heineke. It's
oh,
not
my
the
bad.
Actual beer.
Oh. Yeah,
it's not the actual
I thought
beer.
He was from the family.
So they've lost – Let's see. Well, they're one and eight in their last nine. Ever since, well, they've lost seven. Let's see, two, four, yeah, seven. They're 1-7 since Deshaun Watson went out. Here's the problem. Since that Ravens game that you lost 23-16, you've lost by double digits to the Titans, Niners, Jaguars, and Steelers. And I had somebody on Twitter tell me yesterday, well, you know, what do you expect? They've got so many injuries. Yeah, let me tell you, this is my thing with that. I totally agree. I didn't expect them to beat the Pittsburgh Steelers. Who did? I expect the Texans players who are getting paid and who are starters to go ahead and play better football. I do expect guys to play at their level of ability. See, this is the mistake people make. You start making a bunch of excuses for poor play, and you start to excuse it. And then it becomes easy for an organization to look for reasons and excuses for poor play. I'm not expecting the Texans to win a bunch of these games. I'm really not. But what I am expecting is better efforts, and I'm expecting guys to play to their level of ability. And if your level of ability is this low, then you got to take a look at the GM and say, why is this guy putting players on this team where their level of ability is this terrible?
Yeah, there's no doubt. I mean, people that sit, you know, the fact that you've got – to me, Houston fans, and this is, you know, we've now seen the Astros win a World Series. You can win in this town. The Rockets are balling. We'll get into that in a little bit. But Texan fans have sold out that place since the day they got here.
Yeah.
Yet they continue to accept mediocrity. Okay, winning the Central 2 years in a row at 9-7, that's great, but that's not good enough. This city has to be able to demand more. And by the way, as long as you sell that place out every week, and as long as you walk out of that stadium and you're like, just give Bill O'Brien a chance. Bill O'Brien needs better players. Bill O'Brien's never had a player. Bill O'Brien is a 500 coach, is what Bill O'Brien is. That stumbled into a couple years where he won 9 games. Bill O'Brien is a 500 coach. He was a 500 coach when he finally got a quarterback with Watson. He's a 500 coach, period. He actually was.
I mean, for as good as it looked, should have been a win against New England, should have been a win against Seattle. At the end of the day, if you are what your record says you are,
then you're a 500 coach. Yeah. And you know my feeling on them in big games. Like, these guys are paid very well to go out and play football. Whether or not they match up talent-wise, like you say, against who they're playing, we're not asking you to beat the Steelers. We're not asking you to go out and beat the Jags this year. I mean, we would like that. But can you not put a competitive effort on the field?
That's all it is, dude. It's just be competitive. I'm not expecting wins. Yeah, I got into this with a guy named Billy yesterday on Twitter, and he said, well, drawing a paycheck doesn't mean you're good at what you do. But there's been so many injuries, I'm not sure what people expect. At a certain point, you can't expect guys off the street to be above or even average players. Smith needs to go, though. He's had more than enough time as GM. So he has that feeling. My thing is, let's not act like this just started. I mean, this is 1-7 since Deshaun Watson's been gone. And it hasn't – now, I don't expect wins. And this is not a good team. There are still guys, Jonathan Joseph, Xavier Suofilo, Jeff Allen, Lamar Miller, Andre Howe, Marcus Gilchrist. There's still Brian Cushing, Bernardrick McKinney. Let's not act like the whole team is hurt. There's lots of starters still playing football, and they need to be more competitive. And honestly, Eric, I don't see Bill O'Brien. I don't see him sticking around, but here's the problem. Bring a new coach in, and the new name I heard is not going to make Houston happy.
Who, McDaniels?
No.
Who?
I think it's worse.
Who?
Marvin Lewis. I had somebody tell me that that around league circles, you know, they've looked at Frank Reich and Marvin Lewis. I'm like, Marvin Lewis? 14 years at Cincinnati, Marvin Lewis? But if you think about it, Marvin Lewis plays nice with the GM, plays nice with the owner. That's maybe not Bill O'Brien's deal. Has had some success in Cincinnati, relatively speaking. I mean, it's a relative term. No one lasts 14 years.
But wait a minute. When you say success, you mean regular season success.
Yeah, not playoffs.
Okay, and so what are we trying to do here?
No, I mean,
are we trying to win a regular season?
Yeah, I mean,
I'm just saying, like, you're going to bring him in now? The Cincinnati does not win in the playoffs. That's like what they're known for. They go to jail and they don't win in the playoffs. That's the two things you when you say Cincinnati, other than cool helmets.
Jail
can't win in the playoffs.
Losing the playoffs.
That's what we're bringing in? That's who you're bringing in?
Well, I mean, hopefully less jail and more wins, but I think for sure you're bringing in not winning in the playoffs.
Why? And I mean, then you might as well, like, this is why Texan fans, when you listen to them from somewhere else in the country, okay, like, this would not fly in L.A. This would not fly in New York. This would not fly in Philly.
This would not fly mostly anywhere.
Okay, but Houston fans still walk out and they go, well, who are we going to get? Who are we going to get? Who are you going to get? Just go get someone.
I'm telling you.
And see.
You know what's funny, Eric?
Because what's better than this?
Most of Houston doesn't feel like, well, who are we? Most of Houston is really pissed off. There's still the Pollyanna stuff that goes on. It's just like, I don't know right now if it's Bob McNair, if it's Rick Smith. It's never one thing. People in society love to say it's one thing because then it's easy. If you can say it's one thing,
it's not.
Then it makes it easier to fix.
Of course.
This is an organizational issue because it's now 15 years old. And if you don't expect great things, and I'm not asking for an impatient owner. I mean, I'm not a fan of one and done type stuff. This isn't EPL soccer. It's not Premier League soccer where, well, it looks like Bill O'Brien's going to get the sack after a 9-7 season. If it's a consistent, there's an issue between the general manager and a head coach that's not going to fix itself. There needs to be a parting of the ways, and you hit reset. But it's going to be who you hire at head coach, and then at some point you're going to say, well, when is the GM circled here? When is he going to take the heat? Because if it's not the head coaches, if we decide, well, it wasn't Gary Kubiak and it's not Bill O'Brien, they're gone now, and we're still having the same thing, then you're gonna it's a trickle up scenario, I guess.
Why can't it be the toxic relationship between those two guys? I mean, it's not.
I think it's not a big part of it.
Yeah, I mean, that's no hidden secret. Yeah,
but the roster's also not good enough. But I think Bill O'Brien is definitely culpable for a lot of stuff. He's got to take his own responsibility. And Rick Smith is going to have to be responsible for it. And Bob McNair, too. I mean, ultimately, you're in charge of the hiring. You're in charge of the firing. You're in charge of. Here's just a little thing. Why did they ever get a retractable roof stadium? It's never open. It's never – I mean, the Astros playing spring to summer to summer because we don't really have fall. Yeah. They go spring to summer. And even they will occasionally open that roof up and give you some open outdoor baseball. It can be 65, which is literally perfect.
Beautiful day yesterday here.
No – yeah, it was. No chance.
Maybe that – you know why? They just needed the W's. They got to get real loud in there.
That's what.
Because I'm sure that actually is
what it is. I mean, they want to keep the sound in.
Who cares?
They wanted it to be as loud as possible because Pittsburgh is. I've got a video from my friend who was at the game. I'll show you this during a break. My buddy Uncle Freddie was at the game. And
how much
he
yellow?
Took
all yellow.
Way more Steelers than Texans.
So essentially what they did is close the roof to make it louder to hurt Heineken when he was taking snaps.
And then concussion protocol is what he ended up having, too. Right. All right, we're going to break it right here. 7:15 here. You guys can jump in. 713-780-3776. We got Eric Layden in studio with me. I'm Lance Zierlein. This is The Bench. Coming up, your Houston Rockets have now lost three in a row. And there's been one common factor in those three losses, and that is Chris Paul. We will talk about his importance and something that I want to bring up in regards to loving the game. Players have to love the game. So you guys want to jump in, 713-780-3776. Don't forget, you can also listen on the app, ESPN Houston. Just search that in your app store, and you can listen anytime you want, Bluetooth it in your car, and you're good to go. I'm Lance Zierlein. That's Eric Layden. This is 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. Voila. Voila. Yeah. I'm only coming out to play. Nothing more that I hate in this life. The wrong impression, I only have one to make. You can open your palm, waiting to catch a break. The cards are far where they may. And what about me?
7:21 here on The Bench. 713-780-3776. Lance Zierlein here, along with Eric Layden. So we're basically taking the off-script podcast here to the radio. Eric is in town, in studio. Usually you're on the West Coast. You live in California, so you've had close looks at Chris Paul. The Houston Rockets lost 112-107 last night in the Christmas Eve. I mean, the Christmas quadruple header. Was it four games? Yeah. So is Knicks,
Lakers,
Sixers,
Timberwolves might not count.
No, actually, was there five? Jose, I can't hear you. Go ahead. You can be on the air.
Yeah, it was five of them.
It was five, yeah. So, because there was one right before the Rockets also. I can't remember that one. Oh, that was a 76. That was the 76. Was John Wall. It was John Wall. It was Wizards and Celtics.
Yeah.
So, we'll get back to the Texans in a second if you guys want to jump in. Gilbert, I'm just not taking your call today. So, if you're calling, please leave Trey alone. Leave Jose alone. We're just not going to do the Gilbert call today. No offense, Gilbert. I just have to set the parameters early. So, the Rockets lose 112-107. You saw Chris Paul a lot. Chris Paul, when Chris Paul starts, they have – actually, when Chris Paul starts – no, they did lose that game the other night, and then he went out. They've got one loss. They're 14-1 when Chris Paul starts. Since Chris Paul's been out, they've lost – he went out in the game, they lost. He was out the other two games. They lost both those games. Actually, I'm trying to remember. Maybe they haven't lost since Chris Paul started. They've lost three in a row. James Harden yesterday talked about. So they lost three. Is it time to freak out? I mean, this is the best team in the West, best team in the NBA. Oh my gosh, just three losses in a row. Should we be worried, James?
We'll be all right. That's it. I'm telling you this. We'll be all right, though. Guys are playing a little bit too many minutes. Then our defense isn't really there consistently, and then our offense, we're not making shots like we need to be.
So I think they are going to be all right, though. I'm actually not worried, but you brought up during the break something that was a concern at different times last year. Frankly, over the last 5 years, James has been a rocket. There was a common theme, and that was end of the game.
Yeah, I mean, I just, if you watch that game is neck and neck. You know it's going to go down to the last couple minutes. And the last few possessions are just brutal. I mean, they're down by three, 2.5 minutes to go. James takes a, what looked to be about a 56-footer with 25 seconds on the clock, no ball movement whatsoever.
Right.
And does the same thing two possessions later after a turnover. So, it was really interesting to watch him and Westbrook go head-to-head yesterday because they're often compared to one another. Last year in the MVP race, this year, there's just some, Westbrook, when he's such a good finisher. And he's so explosive. And if I were a fan of a team, I would rather watch that guy play. He's a psychopath, at least seems to be, but I'd rather watch that guy play.
Yeah. To me, I look at it a little bit differently, but James, he can be so great. Mm-hmm. And you saw during stretches yesterday, he was fantastic. I mean, you see 29 and 14 assists, whatever, 8 rebounds. I mean, we know how talented James is and how good James is. But at the end of games, and I don't really trust him. I just don't have that trust for him. And the problem for me with Westbrook is I don't think he can play with other guys. And I definitely don't think he can play with other alpha personalities because he's just too big a personality. It's him, which is great. But James Harden has shown that he can share the ball with others. It's just there's not that consistency. When the game gets to the end, James is willing to default to some bad shots, and he stops trusting people. Now, this is where Chris Paul is so essential to the Rockets. When Chris Paul's on the court, there's another alpha on the court that James is willing to defer to, and frankly, that doesn't care if James defers to him or not. Chris Paul's going to do what he needs to do for the team to win. Chris Paul's about winning, and if Chris Paul has the ball in his hands and he thinks James needs to have it, James is going to have it. But if he needs to chill things out and stop the 36-footers, Chris Paul will also do that. When he's not there, there's nobody to check those bad shots.
Yeah, I mean, I think that is what will be the difference maker in the playoffs. Hopefully everybody's
healthy.
If he stays healthy. And we saw it last year in the playoffs in that last game with Harden. He's a cooler head. I think Chris Paul's just a cooler head. I think that is going to be the difference maker with that team in those situations, in those last 2 minutes, in the playoffs, in a game seven. That will be the biggest difference maker for the Rockets. Capella can't also miss two free throws. He can't miss both.
Oh, he can miss lots of free throws.
But he can't, not with a minute and 15 seconds
left.
Give
him time. He can miss tons of free throws.
Conversely, though, he's the only one on that squad that's not – I mean, everybody's – that's what makes the Rockets such a good team down the road, I think, is that they get to the line probably – one of the most times in the league.
Oh, yeah.
And they're great. They
have guys who can make it. Now, forever they had James Harden and a bunch of guys who couldn't make free
throws. Right. And now it's everybody except for Capella. Everybody's good except for him at the line. And that's huge in the playoffs.
But
he's been so
big. I mean, Capella's been such a such a key
and he's
going to
get better
this year. Yeah.
No
question. He has, and he's going to keep getting bigger,
but
too.
But Harden's talking about playing more, too many minutes. I mean, you look at the minutes from last night, and it's not like – I mean, Ariza played the most at 43.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, outside of that, on a Christmas Day game, 37, 30, 39, 30. I mean, that's not a lot of minutes.
That's not too many minutes. 39 is kind of – they want to keep that lower. And when you're blowing teams out, when your win differential
sure.
has been what it's been, they've been able to play lower. But look, the bottom line is Chris Paul didn't play. That's the bottom line.
Yep.
And you had chances to put them away in the fourth quarter, and you didn't do it. You got outscored 24-19. But the Rockets offensively had their chance to put them away, and they default to bad shots. And once that happens, it's hard to you know, it's hard to win games. Carmelo Anthony got off to a red hot start for Oklahoma City. He ended up being 8 for 12, made 2 of 4 from 3-point line. He had 20 points. Paul George with 24. Westbrook 31. They're starting to kind of figure out how to play with each other, which isn't unusual for a quote unquote big three type to take a little while. So I think Oklahoma City is going to be one of these teams that starts to head north in the standings, and they're going to, you know, become a challenge to some teams. I don't think want to see them in the postseason if you don't have to in the first round. So we'll see how that one plays out. Let's get Dave in here. Dave is on hold. I'm gonna bring him in before we get to a break, because Dave was at the Texans game yesterday and he could probably speak to the amount of Steeler fans. What's up, Dave? How you doing?
Hey, what's up, man?
How you doing?
I was at the game yesterday, and of course, yeah, it was littered with black and gold.
Yep.
And but you know what? I truly enjoyed it. It's gonna sound bad, but I truly enjoyed the Texans getting beat down, because we bring quarterbacks in who no one even knows their name. And the same go with the Cleveland Browns. Anyone else who passed up on Kaepernick, and I know it's an old story, but it's just ridiculous when you sit there and watch the quarterbacks that were coming in that game, and you're like, they could have done something about this a long time ago. And they chose not to. That's their prerogative. And I thoroughly enjoyed the beatdown.
Yeah, it was thanks for the call. I don't know that I enjoy. Look, you're not playing for draft positioning. It used to be you could just say, well, every loss, now I'm just cheering for them to lose because I want a higher pick. Well, higher pick in the third, because that's when you draft for the first time. The Kaepernick thing, Bob McNair was never going to take on Colin Kaepernick. The fan base might have revolted against it. I don't know. I have heard that the GM and the head coach were interested in bringing – they would have been open to it, but the owner was no. I don't know how much of a difference Kaepernick would have made. Frankly, the whole Kaepernick thing to me, when you look at it just from a football standpoint, there has not been enough consistency at all. Look, you had Chip Kelly's offense where he was okay. He was okay. He was terrible before then, except for the year that he had Harbaugh, when Harbaugh fooled everyone with like bringing in the zone read and the NFL acted like they had never seen it before. I guess they hadn't. But I'm not sure that Kaepernick – everyone just – seems to act like Kaepernick is this magical football player with lots of wins waiting for you. I'm not sure that's the case. But with that said, Eric, Colin Kaepernick's better than what the Houston Texans rolled out there yesterday.
He is. There's no doubt. But let's just put – if you put Kaepernick aside, okay. And Dave, I appreciate the call, but you know, we're talking about the fact that Watson went down, Savage went down, Yates went down. I mean, Savage and Yates are guys who have been in the league for a while.
Yeah.
They've been in the system for a while. So it's not as if, I mean, that's
three. You're not winning with either guy.
You're not winning with either guy, but you know, after that, all bets are off. Like you can't put it on, them and saying they're bringing in quarterbacks that nobody's ever heard of.
Because of course they are. You're on number four.
I
can read you my write up on Old Dominion's Tyler Henneke.
Pretty good in college.
By the way. Yeah, I wrote him up in college. One of them was arm strength was an issue, but at this point, the Kaepernick thing, it's irrelevant to the team. It doesn't mean you can roll him out there. He ain't winning any of these games.
I just don't know what the upside is to and like on a football.
Now, was there an upside? Was there an upside after Deshaun Watson went out?
Yes, that's different.
You were still in contention.
That's yes, absolutely. You're in contention. Yes, there's an upside there, but not after that. Not after now, because this is it. Yeah, I mean, so if Kaepernick comes in and you know balls out, like now all of a sudden. I mean, now we've got just one more thing to talk about in terms of controversy.
Yeah.
And if he doesn't ball out, then it just becomes a PR stunt, right?
Yeah.
So I don't know that Kaepernick was the answer. Surely not the answer now. I would have definitely given him a shot back when Watson goes down. I know he brings a lot of baggage with him.
I feel like you could have integrated him into what you were doing.
For sure.
At least it would have been more fluid with what you were doing with Deshaun Watson. I don't know if it would have had the same success, and he's not the passer that Watson is, but it would have been a more fluid integration. Let's break it right here. It's 7:32 here on the bench. You guys can jump in. Thanks, Dave, for jumping in. We got people sending video footage of the Texans game so that you can see all of the Steelers fans. Dude, if you haven't seen this, we'll try to get some of this footage on our blog or on our website, but it is unbelievable. unbelievable the amount of Steelers. I think it was over 50% Steelers in the house yesterday. I'm pretty sure it was. 713-780-3776. The bench is off script today. Eric Layden, Lance Zierlein. You can hit us up at Eric Layden, L-A-D-I-N, and at Lance Zierlein. Keep it right here. Back with a little bit more Rockets and Texans talk, and then it's going to be time for us to roll into some college playoffs.
Your home for sports is ESPN 97.5. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Presented by Coors Light. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Well, it's Lance and Eric Layden. And we're going to be on from 7 to 10. Rolling a little extra with Raheel coming in. I know Raheel's excited about getting with you. One of the things we haven't talked a whole lot about is, like, your world, the acting world. But you were with a bunch. So you're a lifelong Astros fan. Your family's been going to Astros games forever. Yep. You want to tell the story about how long you guys have been going to the Astros games?
Well, I mean, I'm closing in on 40. So, you know, probably 35 years for me. It was something that my dad and I did. Outside of going hunting, probably the thing that my dad and I did as a bonding experience, he started taking me to games back in the Astrodome. We were lucky enough to have some insane seats sitting on the third baseline, that my grandfather won in a bet,
and had
first pick.
That really happened. He won a bet.
From my understanding, the way the story was told to me, that he won a bet, against this guy who had, had the power to give him any season tickets he wanted.
Yeah.
So he had first pick, and they rolled out the map as the Astrodome was being built. And he said, I want these four on the visitor dugout.
That's how things, you know, the win a bet. That sounds like how, like, Wyoming came to be like.
Yeah.
And Wyoming was first started when Jebediah Walker won a bet off of a Native American, and he got the entire the land was granted to him. They saw who could skip a rock the most. Like, it was little things like that shaped it shaped your family history. Somebody, yeah. Your grandfather won a bet, and now you're. You're on third baseline. I love when my,
you know, your thanks computer's
for
the
pop- really. Oh, yeah, you know, thanks, how ESPN just does pop up videos and they make you watch their crap.
Yeah. So anyway, my grandfather, he won a slingshot contest, and he picked the four, knowing he'd get visitors every game, and it turned out to be pretty great, man. And yeah, I mean, I've got. From when I was about 8 or 9, a shot of me giving Jim Leland when he was managing the Pirates a heave-ho.
When Jim Leland was great, Jim would try to sneak the cigarettes in the dugout, his old-school cigarette smoking right there in the dugout. Before there was a bunch of dugout camera action
they
had, every once in a while they'd flash at Jim Leland. He's just got the heater just
under the...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, in 100-degree weather.
It could be 30 or 100.
Yeah, he doesn't care.
A cigarette, hey, I'm the same with coffee now. I got to have it or I start getting my headaches.
For sure.
Yeah. Leland's got to get a cigarette.
How many coffees a day you roll?
No, I just do one, but it's the 30-ounce, and it gets me
but
jump-started.
But that's it for the day.
Yeah, but it's 7 days a week.
Yeah.
I get the 30, and I take off, and so I got my energy here and all that. But if I don't have it, like yesterday at 9:30, I still had 10 o'clock, I hadn't had my coffee.
Migraine.
Oh, man. Headache. Yeah, it feels terrible.
Yeah, you need
this
the drug.
Junkie.
I'm a venti, you know, size, the
this
big guy.
Is,
this in
the is morning. Trenta.
Yeah.
So you're still kind of, you're but not really I'm up hit, on my game.
Okay, but
on
then
my
I'm,
level.
But then I'm hitting a 1 o'clock coffee.
Well, don't act like I've never had a second coffee.
I feel like maybe you're not on my level.
I just don't want to stay up until like 1.
You ever
although
go,
I do.
Yeah. You ever go like caffeine IV drip or?
I wish if there was a patch where I could just
spins out a little,
yeah,
like a nicotine
a little,
patch.
Just, because
that's
actually
not a bad idea. How's that not around?
I think we should.
Because people would overdose on it. You think like they'd go three patches on the arm?
I mean, can you have too much caffeine? I guess you probably could.
No.
But as long as you get it a drip, as long as it time releases, it just keeps you up the whole time.
Yeah.
I'm guessing it's not good for you since my one big coffee gives me headaches if I don't have it. It's probably not a great thing to just have caffeine throughout the day.
Kind of sounds like a heart attack waiting to happen.
Yeah, but I mean, it also sounds like a lot of productivity waiting to happen.
True that.
I'll tell you what, my metabolism's on fire.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have no problems there.
Well, that makes one of us, because right now I'm in bear mode where I'm just eating and I sit in an office and watch tape all day. I'll go into wolf mode here like after Christmas where all right, Thanksgiving's over, Christmas is over, all the dinners. And then I start to get ready to go do TV stuff or combine and things like that. So I start to work out. But I got to get all my players written up today. I'll be up here until 7 or 8 o'clock tonight writing up players. It's long, long days. And I sit on chairs, and it's literally like I'm in a cave just, you know.
You ever thought stand-up desk is an option?
Stand-up desk.
Maybe treadmill desk for you might be
treadmill
nice.
Desk would be all right. I got to write my notes, but, you know, I can get it like, just 3.3 miles an hour, probably wouldn't trip.
Yeah, no, I mean, nobody's asking you to, like, you know, put it on 5.6.
No, I'm not trying to open the hips up.
Yeah, we're
really
not putting a heart
sprint.
Monitor on you. We're just talking about putting it on, you know.
The Fitbit will, like, it'll buzz, you know.
Yeah.
And I look, and it does that every 10 minutes before the top of the hour. Like, hey, let's get our 250 steps in, lads. You're at zero this hour. Like, just leave me alone. I've literally told my Fit before, like, I just don't buzz them.
My Apple Watch tells me to breathe. Does I don't it? Know what that. Yeah, I mean, I don't. It, every once in a while, it sends me like a buzz, and I look down. It says breathe, as if I haven't been breathing. I mean, from my understanding, I've been breathing all day.
My Fitbit, after like 6 hours in the office sitting in a chair, it'll just go boom, and I look at it. Just says really? Question mark. I mean, not one step. I'm like,
it just reads lazy.
Yeah, you have taken 700 steps today.
I'm going to get you a treadmill desk. We're going to put a fund together.
I'll do it. Yeah.
I'm going to lead this thing. We got to get you a treadmill
it's
desk.
It's funny. During the summer, I'll just be, you know, or when I wasn't doing radio, I was like, oh, 21,000 steps. I walk 10-something miles. Or I go to New York, tons of walking. Here, when I'm getting ready to do football, it's just like, I think I've got a hip condition. Like, no, you've just been sitting in a chair for 9 straight hours. Get up.
Yeah, not a good chair either.
No, these aren't awesome chairs.
Not with
the wheels. To relax the back. Yeah. You got a chair? Let me tell you who makes a lot of money on a chair. Relax the back. Because their chairs, you hit the price point like.
Like, what are we talking?
Well, an office chair is over $600. Just the standard office chair, which you can get some good ones. But, I mean, it's like this. It's not leather and decked out. Those leather zero-gravity chairs that you can get into, like, I didn't even see.
I mean, we had 3Gs?
There was 4Gs for a tall back leather chair, like an office chair, $4,000 on a leather chair. I'm like, $4,000 on an office chair? I'm not talking about something that you have, you know, in your study.
Okay, I'm gonna go against you here, okay? Because you just spent 5 minutes talking about how much of a day you spend in a chair.
You're
talking about you spend 12, 13 hours a day in a chair. You sit and do a radio show, then you sit and do your draft coverage. So how are you not able to justify $4,000 for a chair, for a good chair?
Well, I got to go to an account that the wife doesn't know about, because if she knew I was spending $4,000 on a chair.
So you got to go to your fantasy football account. Yeah. You're offshore.
Yeah. Got to go offshore.
Yeah, you got to go offshore.
You
got to
go to
the
offshore account. In this case, offshore credit card. Well,
yeah.
I got my football account, which I keep separate.
Right.
So I can go to the football account and I can do whatever I want to, like a grown ass man. I can, if I want to go, because I don't feel like having anyone fade me on, you went and spent how much on sushi and then you went and saw a movie. Because I'm a grown-ass man, I can do things that I want to do.
I can do what I want to do.
And I'm such a grown-ass man that I have to do it from a different account that she can't get upset about.
And by the way, I mean, tax season and stuff, you can write the chair off, bro.
No.
You're spending 80% of your time in a seated position, you can write the chair off. Surely somebody out there listening has an in on relax the back. Let's get Lance a chair.
Hey, how about I get an endorsement? Hey, relax your back.
I like that.
I'm a guy with a bad lower back right now. Why don't you guys hit up my people?
Yeah.
See about us doing something. I could use a zero gravity. I also did one of those inversion tape. I went in there basically and I was like a kid in a bad lower back candy store. I was, which is sounds like the worst candy store ever.
You know you're
ever.
Old, Wynn.
Yeah. I can't
when
believe I'm the guy.
When you're hanging and relax the back.
And some, yeah,
it was
exactly.
Amazing.
Man, this relaxed the back was the best thing I ever did. And so I'm hanging, you know, like 45 degree angle. My back's like pop, 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 pop.
Yeah.
And I'm like, man, this is great. I'm just hanging upside down and relax the back. And I was
have
like,
you-
remember when I used to go have drinks and cocktails, go have fun like a fun person? Now I'm hanging out at, oh, it's him again. Remember me? I was in yesterday. Show me the massage things for the ankles.
By the way, those are no joke. Have you ever been in a float chamber?
Yeah.
Like, yeah. The,
cause yeah. Like, oh, no, no. I'm going to say.
Save
I have
that.
Been. I'm going to save it for the next break because
right.
I was in a – I got a Groupon.
Oh.
It starts with a Groupon and it ends with being in somebody's garage.
Anybody that starts with a Groupon in a float chamber, no good.
747. Let's break it here. First, I want to tell you about Gulf Coast. My man Craig DeSurf is awesome. Craig DeSurf, the reason that I speak for Craig DeSurf is I know that Craig DeSurf, maybe more than anybody I've ever spoken for, has got the listeners – best interest at heart. And whether you need a pickup truck, an SUV, crossover vehicle, car, it really doesn't matter. They've got the Texas Edition Chevy Silverados for $10,000 off. They got 25% off MSRP on the Chevy Cruze if you're looking for a car. They've got great prices on Buick Enclaves and Encores for the crossover vehicles. And of course, on GMC side, I always rep the Yukon and Yukon Extended Body, but I got to tell you, the GMC Sierra pickup truck is something else as well. SUVs, pickup trucks, that's a big thing that they specialize in. You go out to Angleton, and it's not as far as you think. And even if it is, any of you say, it's just too far for me, I don't have time, shop online. Get your purchase done online, and they will bring the car to you right here in the Houston area. They do it every single week. They do 5 or 6 deliveries every single week. That's how they roll at Gulf Coast Buick Chevy GMC. Go to the website, gulfcoast.net. That's gulfcoast.net.
ESPN 97.5. Please stand by.
Hey, it's 7:51 here on the bench. Lance Zierlein and Eric Layden. We also do the Off Script podcast. You can check it out. Go search that one out. I think you're going to like that one. It's unfiltered, uncensored. A lot of people who've listened to me for years and years on the radio are like, oh, is that a bad word? Yeah, I did. Lots of them. And lots of topics. Some interesting topics from Eric in the world of acting, which we learned what a marble sack was. It's what you think it is. We learned about all kinds of the magic velvet tray. We learned about that on the show. So this float chamber, I'll just tell you the story real quick on float chamber. I saw a Groupon. I know, you know, the sensory deprivation. I'd heard about them. I knew what they were. And so I saw one on Groupon for whatever reason. I said, oh, I'm going to get two of these for whatever the fee was. So I printed it out, and finally I said, oh, it's time for me to go. So I'm driving, and it has an address, and I keep driving. I think my map is screwed up. Now, this was 7 years ago. I'm following my phone. And I realize, man, I'm in a neighborhood. And it's not even a great neighborhood at all. And I'm thinking, this can't be, my phone must be screwed up. I pull up to the address, and it's somebody's house. And I'm like, what? And I realize, well, Groupon's already got me. So I might as well check this out. So I'm like, hello, welcome. And this lady has turned her house, and she's got beads hanging down from the top. She's got, I walk in, and in her house is, I don't know what business it is, maybe tarot card reading,
psychic.
Maybe it's psychic stuff, maybe sure. It's some type of face rejuvenation, I don't know. But I know that I go into the other business center, which is the garage where the float chamber is.
Or her tub.
It's a real float chamber. Yeah. She said, well, I mean, And so it just happens to be in a garage. It's converted. And I'm thinking, first thing I'm thinking is, are there permits? Are you permitted? Is there a permit? Is there a business permit here? What's your tax ID number? So I, she said, okay, get undressed and go in there. I will warn you, if you have any small abrasions or cuts, you're going to feel, it'll feel a little uncomfortable at first because it's all salt and blah, blah, blah. And I'm just thinking, this is the only time I can tell you one thing, Groupon. This is not going to be a twofer. It's a one and done.
Yeah, one and done.
The other one's going in the trash. So get in, do that. Sure enough, you know, you feel any cuts, whatever. I wanted to say I enjoyed it, but I couldn't because I knew I was in someone's garage out in Cyprus.
Yeah, I mean, it's you're
like
not going to enjoy
spring Cyprus era.
Yeah, I mean, that's like you know, a Craigslist massage. You know, yeah, you just never feel comfortable.
Yeah, like, hey, is this everything's legal here? Right, we're okay here, and I'm in the garage just thinking, at least it doesn't feel like a meth lab in here. At least it, I know it's some kind of, you know, psychic stuff going on in the house, and it's not something rougher. At least there's not a bunch of biker dudes in the kitchen like, oh man, this is a meth slash float chamber.
But either place. Way, you're naked in a stranger's garage. Yeah, I mean that's really what this boils down to. You're naked in a stranger's garage, and there's no time where you feel less vulnerable.
At no point is any of that inaccurate.
No,
that all is, everything that you just said is totally accurate. So I couldn't really enjoy it. I know there's other ones here in Houston. I may go give it a try again in an actual facility.
Yeah, man. I mean, I feel like you should splurge. I don't know what your Groupon was. I mean, I think the going rate for, like, especially when you go the first time, is like $25.
Yeah, you get a hookup.
It's like 25 first float. Like, I feel like you could squeeze that. If not, I could definitely throw you some, you know, I could throw some money your way and you could hit me back.
No, here's how I do this.
I know you're saving for the chair.
I can just tell my wife, I say, hey, I can either get the chair or this float chamber, and she'll say, do the float.
Yeah, I know about it because I just got finished playing a Navy SEAL.
Yeah.
For a show called Six.
Yeah,
yep,
on History Channel.
On History Channel. Season one is out right now on Hulu or iTunes.
By the way, for those who don't know, you're just checking in, this is Eric Layden. Eric and I do podcasts, but I met Eric when he was at Hard Knocks, was filming the Houston Texans in 2014. Eric was here. I happened to be watching him in The Brink, so I knew. John McClane introduced me, and I'm like, holy crap, I just got done watching you guys.
You were a fan.
Yeah, I absolutely was. And Justin says, I just looked up Eric on IMDb. He literally acted in several of my shows. Good stuff. I always tell people, Eric's the guy who, you, if you saw him, you'd say, wait a minute, I've seen this guy before, because you've been in, you know, you've been in Boardwalk Empire, Mad Men, and Big Love, The Killing, Bosch, which is up. So now you just got done filming. You were in Canada during the World Series, trying to fade the World Series while you're filming in Canada. How'd that go?
It was, well, everybody on set knew because I was basically walking around with my phone. I have MLB at bat. It's just video playing.
Best app ever.
Best app ever, outside of the ESPN app. And MLB at bat is, you know, I had the games on. I could usually find myself in a bar after work to get to it. But yeah, I was in Canada. I'm in Vancouver filming Six, playing a Navy SEAL. Navy SEALs in their command have something called a mind gym where they can go and relax. They've got, this is going to upset you, but really great massage chairs. They hit your calves. You know, they're fantastic, but they have float chambers. And my character in this show, oftentimes when I had to wear my marble sack, was getting in and out of the float chamber. Because of it ties in your, it ties in your left brain and your right brain.
Yeah.
And so
wait, they what? Use, well, it really does?
Yeah. Yeah. Because you start to lose, because of the sensory deprivation, your right brain starts to take over, right? So, you know, the differences between left brain and right brain, your left brain is,
right,
your more
is the
analytical,
more creative.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah. Your right is your more creative brain. And so, by losing sight, by losing feeling, you're floating, right? So you're essentially losing all of your senses. It's dark. You can't hear when done correctly.
And I could hear in mine.
Well, you were in a garage.
Right.
In Cyprus.
In Spring Cyprus, I could hear.
Yeah.
I could hear in mine.
But that was a Groupon deal. You know, you can't, it's not perfect. In Bertha's bathtub,
hear lady
you can hear.
Her, I could hear a lady yelling at her cat.
And reading fortunes next door.
Yeah, exactly.
She was doubling up. But anyway, that's where I became knowledgeable about them. And they're pretty great. I mean, when they're real.
Yeah.
You know, when they're not fake.
They are. It is true, though, that if you have any cuts or whatever.
Oh, sure.
It's salt. I mean, you're going to feel it.
Well, it's heavy. It's got to be enough salt to float you.
Yeah.
And you, in bear mode.
I'm in bear mode. I'm not in wolf mode.
You need more salt
yet.
Than I
yeah.
need. You know, she yeah. probably went. I mean, she probably went several bags of kosher.
No, Epson. This is when. This is before I was doing NFL, so I was right. good. I didn't. I was in good shape.
You're wolf mode.
This is before. Yeah, this is before I was sitting in offices for 10 hours on end in dark rooms watching tape.
Right. Well, anyway, they need enough salt. So yeah, you're feeling cut. Yeah. So like, if you did any sort of manscaping that day, you're in trouble.
Yeah. I'm good. Jose, why are you laughing?
Yeah, why are you
laughing
Jose?
Through the door, Jose? You all right?
I'm good.
Today's the day. I'm glad Dell's not here today.
Something
we would have heard something from
Dell, Jose. For sure. Jose must manscape. That was a nervous giggle.
Oh, he's got Yeezys. Of course he does. 7:59 here on The Bench, Lance Zierlein, Eric Layton. You guys want to jump in, 713-780-3776. Also hit us up at Eric Layton on Twitter, at Lance Zierlein. We come back, college football playoffs. We have opinions. Eric thinks he's got the college football game fixed. He thinks he's got a fix for college football playoffs if you're not happy with it. We will also hear from Bill O'Brien, who now believes he made a mistake with the offensive game plan. All right. And Michael Kelly Jr., the actor who played Doug Stamper on House of Cards, who's now got a show on Nat Geo called Long Road Home. He is going to join us in this hour, Eric?
Yep.
In this hour as well. So do not miss that one. You're on the bench right here on 97.5.
Hey, this is Trey Wingo. You're listening to ESPN 97.5 Houston. Hello.